You know, one of the things I love about this book is it is jam-packed full of crazies. It really is. Have you read any of the stories in here? These guys that where God gets a hold of them and they're just crazy. For instance, Paul. Paul, when I look at our series topic of the whole month, or actually it's been a month's worth of series or sermons, but kind of last half of last month, the first half of this month, getting ripped. I think of Paul, the Apostle Paul. Some of you guys are familiar with Paul. Paul was once Saul, and Saul, the person who Paul once was, he actually persecuted the church. He was against the church. He actively opposed what was called at that time the way. People who followed Jesus Christ. Paul was against them. And actively so. So much that he held the coats of these guys that threw stones on this young guy named Stephen. As they killed him because he was speaking out about Jesus Christ. Saul was there and he gave his approval over that. We know in Saul or Paul's transition story, he was on his way into a town called Damascus with papers in his hand to arrest Christians in that town. And on his way in, Jesus visited him and appeared to him and spoke to him. And you guys can go and read that on your own. We don't have time to cover that this morning. But it was an amazing transformation. He sent him into the town where he was going to go. And instead of looking for a Christian to arrest them, his job was to find a Christian so that he could find out what his job was, what he was supposed to do. And so as he went into town, he met up with the guy that he was supposed to meet up with and found out that he was supposed to be God's missionary to the Gentiles. Now, this is a big deal because Paul, who was once Saul, was a Jew of Jews, a Hebrew of Hebrews. He was part of God's select people. And now God was calling him, one, to join this group that he had been opposing. And then two, not only to join that group, but to take the message that that group had outside the people of God. Some huge steps for Paul to take. And as you watch Paul, you look through the book of Acts. If you look in your New Testament, you've got Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and then you've got the book of Acts. And from Acts 9 on, it's basically the chronicles of Paul and his buddies. It's amazing what Paul gets into. And I encourage you, take some time this week, read through the book of Acts, and it's an adventure story. It's full of action and danger and the gospel being spread and lives being changed. And a lot of it because this guy, he was nuts. He was nuts for Jesus. I mean, he's crazy for Jesus. And that's an amazing quality to have. And as I look at Paul, and I look at what we've got in this series so far, and I see Paul, and I see Paul was dedicated. That's what we talked about the first week in this series. He was dedicated to the cause of Christ. He was dedicated to sharing the gospel with the Gentile nation, with anyone he'd come into contact, really. He had reps. We talked about reps the next week. And that idea of doing something over and 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 over. That repetition. Paul had that. He did that. That was part of his lifestyle. It was part of how Paul lived. And Paul had the same spotter that you and I have today, 2,000 years later. The Holy Spirit. There to help us through the rough times. To encourage us, to give us confidence that we can do what God has called us to do. And I see Paul as a guy in history who was spiritually ripped. Who was not only dedicated and had the reps and had the Holy Spirit living inside of him, that spotter. But he's also someone that had a great deal of stamina. Now, you guys know that I was a soccer player. I love playing soccer. And as of a few years ago, I stopped playing for a little while. I'd like to try and do some rehabilitation to get back into that. But my legs weren't adapting to the indoor fields. But for a while, I was playing up at Soccer City. Loved it. I was in my 30s, playing with 20-year-olds. And I was keeping up with them. I was able to be just as fast as they were. Which I thought was pretty impressive because I weighed a little more than I used to when I played soccer. And actually the weight was my benefit because I like to hit in soccer. I mean, not, you know, but you can shoulder charge, hip charge, and soccer is a very physical sport. Those of you guys who think it's just for sissies, it's tough stuff. And I enjoyed that. And now that I'm bigger, I can hit harder. And that was fun. I still had my shots. Got a chance to average about a goal a week, which was kind of fun for me. I had one of those, like, at the last minute, last second tie game, and just ripped it right in the bottom corner, and just felt so good. And I was like, I got it still. I got it still. And us old guys in the audience, you know that feeling that you get every once in a while, and you realize, I still got it. I still got it, you know. And, but you're really lacking some of the other parts of it. But you get that one time to shine, and you're like, I still got it. Yeah. But I still had a lot of these elements. But there was something that I was really having a hard time with. Even though I could keep up with them speed-wise and power-wise and whatnot, I was good for about 5 or 10 minutes. And I did as much damage as I could for my team in that 5 or 10 minutes. And then I was raising my hand. I was all bent over like an old man and getting the switch back out. And I sat out for about 20 minutes and went back in for my 5 or 10 minutes and just did as much damage as I could. And I loved it. I got a chance to help the team out. But I was lacking something that I used to have, and that's stamina. I was lacking that. And I think a lot of us in our walk with Christ, as we've decided to be dedicated and follow Jesus, and we've decided to keep up with the reps, and we've decided to depend on the Holy Spirit with inside of us, I think a lot of us are lacking stamina. We have all the other things. That's why I shared some of that in that illustration. You've got the gifts. You've got things that God has given you. You've got things that you're good at in church. You've got the goods. You can keep up with things. But with all of that, you're still only good for a little bit because you don't have stamina. And I think that's an important part for each and every one of us to look at our lives and say, you know what? If I really want to get spiritually ripped, I need to look into this thing called stamina. Look at, in your Bibles, turn to Corinthians, 2 Corinthians. In your New Testament, you find Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You go past Acts, past Romans, past 1 Corinthians, and then you get to 2 Corinthians. If you find 3 Corinthians, I have no idea what book you have in your hand. All right, 2 Corinthians. Give you guys just a moment to get there. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians is one of Paul's most heartfelt letters. And as you read the New Testament, most of the New Testament was written by this guy that I just shared about, Paul, this crazy. And in a lot of his letters, he's sharing with churches or he's sharing with individuals. And this book, this letter, 2 Corinthians, we're reading someone else's mail. 2 Corinthians and another letter that he wrote, a letter to Timothy called 2 Timothy, we'll be in that later in the message, are two of Paul's most revealing letters in Scripture. And 2 Corinthians is one of my favorite books because of how much of just the nuts and bolts of Paul's motivation, of what drives Paul. And in this section, he's going to share after this section that his boasting about his weaknesses. But what he's gotten into a situation where he's being compared with other people. And he wants to end that comparison. And so he just kind of lashes out and just kind of has a verbal vomit of all sorts of different things that has happened to him and where he's come from and who he is. And we get a chance to see the life of Paul. He says, talking about these other guys, are they servants of Christ? And then he says, I'm out of my mind to talk like this. I'm in verse 23 of chapter 11. I gave you the book, but I didn't give you the reference there. Chapter 11, verse 23. I'm out of my mind to talk like this. I am more. I have worked much harder. Talking about these other guys. I've worked much harder. Been in prison more frequently. Been flogged more severely. And been exposed to death again and again. Just in this beginning part, Paul outlines what he's going to unpack in four different sections. He says, I've worked harder. He says, I've been in prison more frequently, more often. Incarcerated in jail. He said, I've been beaten or flogged more. He said, I've seen death. I've looked death in the face. I've been exposed to death again and again. Now what he does is he unpacks this a little bit and gives us some details behind what he's gone through. He says, 5 times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. So that's 5 times he went through this. Now the 40 minus one, what that was that 40, according to Jewish law, was too much. You couldn't go beyond 40. So what they would do is they would do 40 minus one to make sure that if they miscounted, they didn't accidentally go to 41. All right, just the way the Jews were. They were very particular about following rules. So that's why it was 40 minus one. Had that done to him 5 times. 3 times, I was beaten with rods. Think about that. Beaten with rods. I have a wiffle ball bat. It would sting. Can you imagine beaten with rods? Once I was stoned. Now he's not revisiting like Grateful Dead days or anything here. This is different. This is where they throw rocks at you to kill you. And we actually have this recorded in the book of Acts where they stoned him. They threw rocks on him and then they drug him to the edge of town and they left him for dead. Thinking that he was dead. Well, Paul got up, went back into the town and spent the night in that town. You talk about, you know, guts. He gets back up, leaves the town and goes preaching somewhere else. That's pretty awesome. He said, 3 times I was shipwrecked. You know, once would be enough for me. I think I'll walk. I'll take the land route. It might be longer, but 3 times, shipwrecked. Spent a night and a day in the open sea. Could you imagine? Floating on pieces of a broken ship that you were once aboard. All night long. All day long. It says, I've been constantly on the move. I've been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my own countrymen, in danger from Gentiles. Speaking of, I've been in danger of my own country, and that could be Jews. That could even mean Christians. We see some hint of that in some of his letters as he talks about Christians that are doing things to make his suffering worse. He's in danger from Gentiles, the people that he was actually reaching out to with the gospel. The people he was sent to, he was in danger from them. He was in danger in the city. In danger in the country, in danger at sea. Let me translate that for you. I was in danger everywhere I went. That's the translation there. If I was on land and I was in a city where there's a bunch of people, you know, because that's what a city is, where a bunch of people hang out, I was in danger. Now, if I were away from the city, still on land, and that's in the country, okay, away from the city, I was still in danger. If I was at sea, we know he was in danger at sea. He just didn't have good luck. 3 shipwrecks. And in danger from false brothers. Probably one of the worst in that list. He said, I've labored and toiled and have gone without sleep. I've known hunger and thirst and have often gone without food. I've been cold and naked. Besides everything else, I face the daily pressure of my concern for all the churches. Who is weak and I do not feel weak? Who is led into sin? And I do not inwardly burn. When you talk about stamina. You talk about someone that sticks with it. No matter how rough it gets. I think that's our first thought when we see a list like this. We think, one of two thoughts. We think, man, that guy had some stamina. He was really dedicated to his cause. Or we think, that guy was crazy. He was nuts. Unfortunately, whichever one of those you have first, I believe the other one would follow. I think our third thought, though, if we're honest, is you know what? That's fine and dandy for him. But as for me, I'm going to play it safe. That's just too crazy for me. That's too far out for me. Church, I think the most dangerous thing you can do for your faith is play it safe. In fact, I think those words are contrary to each other. You can't play it safe and live by faith at the same time. You choose one or the other. Because when you choose to play it safe, you are your source of security. You are your source of safety. You're looking out for you. You're watching out for you and your interests. When you're living by faith, you're saying, you know what, God, put me anywhere you want me to go. Take me. I'll do whatever dangerous thing that you want me to do. And I'm going to depend on you for my security. I'm going to depend on you for my safety. I'm going to live by faith. It was Paul who said, we walk by faith, not by sight. He lived that, didn't he? Yeah? Yes? Okay, you guys awake? All right. Man, is this... Okay, I'm not going to do anything beyond that. We need this same kind of stamina that Paul had. It's not something that's bonus or extra or for the chosen few or for those that are going to be God's elite, you know? Every one of us need this kind of stamina. Paul says, and if you look in your bulletins, you notice I've got a bunch of scripture there, and I don't always get to all that scripture. I share scripture with you that I've used in my research so that you can have something that you can dig a little more, read a little more on the subject. Every one of those scriptures listed at the top of your page, with the exception of the 2 Corinthians passage that we started off with, the Timothy, the Colossians, the Ephesians, the Philippians, all of those passages that you'll read there are passages that Paul wrote to encourage Christians while he was in jail. He wrote those from prison. And so as he writes from prison in Ephesians chapter 4, he says, as a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. That's for us today. Live a life worthy of the calling you have received. That takes stamina. That takes stamina. And it starts with a decision. Now, my goal here in the next 15 minutes is to help you to make an educated decision this morning, an informed decision this morning. Now, for some of you, this is going to be uplifting because you have made an educated decision in the past to dedicate yourself, to walk this way, to do these things, to allow God to be your Lord. For others, today might be the first day in your adventure with God. Today might be the day where you say, you know what? I need to make a decision now to make Jesus my Lord. And if that's where you're at and you're on the, if you're on the fence today, I want to help you to make an educated decision in following God. Now, some of you decided years ago to follow God, and you've kind of fallen off. You've traded a servant heart for idle hands and mouths that should be idle, because unfortunately they spur out complaints and grumblings, and that's not healthy for the church. Maybe if that's you this morning, maybe today is a reminder of the things that you knew that you were getting into, and you need to be reminded this is part of your walk. This is part of being a disciple. And stamina needs to be a part of your mindset this morning. And maybe you need to readjust. That's between you and God. Now, there are some of you here this morning that as we share some of this information, this education, you're going to think, well, that's good news for somebody else. When actually it's for you. In fact, it's kind of useless for me to tell you that this was for you because you're even listening to this and thinking it's for someone else. I want you to make an educated decision. And that decision is that I resolve to fight, run, and keep the faith with all of my might until my last breath here on earth. You have to decide that before the shipwrecks come, before the heartaches, before the backstabbings, before the beatings, before the persecutions, before things go wrong. In your walk, You have to decide that you are going to stay with it with all of your might till your very last breath. You are going to fight the fight. You are going to run the race. You're going to keep the faith. And I've got a little space out to each of these notes this morning off to the left. For you guys to be over here, off to the left, and that's for you guys to initial. You can do that between you and God right here, or you can take this home later today and spend some time just you and God and review through these different points, and then initial beside it as a visual for yourself that you are recontracting with God, that you understand that this is part of the road, this is part of the ride, this is part of my decision. So you can initial that when you feel ready sometime today. Paul says, I worked harder than all those that I was being compared to. When you make the resolve to fight and run and keep the faith, that means that you make a resolve that I will work when others are not. I mean, does no one else care about the Whatchamadiggers? The Whatchamadiggers on the Whatchamacallits. And does no one else care about the Whatchamadiggers? I mean, I'm always there. I'm tending to the Whatchamadiggers on the Whatchamacallits because I care about the Whatchamacallits. So I tend to the Whatchamadiggers. That's what I do. I do that because it needs to be done. And God forbid we would have a guest come in through that door. I mean, you know, what's her face or who's your daddy? And they saw that the Whatchamadiggers was not being taken care of. And therefore it means that the Whatchamacallits, no one cares about that. And I don't want to see that happen because I don't want what's her face or who's your daddy to have anything to stand in between them and Jesus when they come to church. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to keep tending to the Whatchamadiggers on the Whatchamacallits, even if no one else will, because I know it needs to be done. Church, that's stamina. That's what we need to have in each one of us, that even when no one else is working, I'm going to work. I'm going to do what needs to be done. If you're there, you can initial that. I will endure isolation because of my faith. When Paul shares this list, we see that Paul went to prison. Paul was shipwrecked and he was out alone on the waves and sitting on top of a piece of board that used to be part of the ship, thinking, do your best not to look like fish food. Do your best not to look like fish food. Can you imagine that? That kind of isolation. What kind of isolation do we deal with in our lives? I mean, sometimes it's your neighbors. Sometimes your neighbors, they won't invite you to the block party because you're a Christian. And they think that you'll be, you know, blah. First of all, you need to start working into that because you need to reach out to your neighbors. You need to start inviting them to your growth groups. A little commercial. But sometimes that can feel isolating. And you know that it's because of your faith, because you've made Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior. You've been ousted from this group. Or maybe at work. Maybe there is a group at work and they don't want to have anything to do with you. And they have limited contact with you because they know that you're a Christian. Maybe it's inside your own family. That can be rough. When Paul was in prison, one of the times he was in prison in Philippi, and he was there because he had cast a demon out of this fortune-telling girl, and it messed up, well, she was a slave girl, it messed up her master's profits because, no pun intended, but profit, fortune-telling, okay. Come on, you guys, you're not with it this morning, are you? You guys need some caffeine. All right, so, but it messed up his profits with an F, two Fs, isn't that right? So he got upset and he got the town riled up, and then they arrested Paul and Silas and they put him in jail, and they were in there and they're praising God till midnight. And I know if I were in that position, even if I were praising God with the rest of the group, in the back of my head, I'd be thinking, God, where are you? I was just doing what you asked me to do. I was just doing good for this girl. And here I am beaten and stripped naked and in prison. Where are you? I wonder if that thought went through Paul's mind as he floated around on that board, shipwrecked. I mean, what are your shipwrecks in life? And those times when you feel just all alone and isolated out, and you just ask, where are you, God? I don't hear you. I'm on a plank in the middle of the ocean all night. and the sun's out and it's high above head. In our Christian walk, in our walk with God, there are going to be times when we even feel isolated from Him because He gets quiet sometimes. That's just going to happen, church. Sometimes you're going to walk out on a limb and you're going to know that it was God's will that you walked out on that limb, and that limb's going to break and you're going to wonder, what in the world were you thinking, God? You told me to walk out on this limb and the limb broke and now I'm falling. Where are you? Anytime I've been in those positions, sometimes it's a good deal of time, but every time, sooner or later, God's hand comes and His strength and His gentleness, and He captures me. Sometimes a free fall is a long time. So remember, there are going to be times of isolation from other people and sometimes even from God. You got to stay with it, church. You got to keep the stamina high. You got to stick with it. You got to weather those storms. Sometimes I will suffer at the hands of many people. I've heard a term, and this term's become very popular, and I think it's extremely grotesque. And it's the term, I just got thrown onto the bus. You heard that term? You heard people use that? And it's in describing, you know, when someone just kind of deserts you, or they throw you out in the middle and they escape, you know, getting hit, and they throw you under the bus. And that's the term. And I think about that, and I'm a very visual person, so I get this visual picture of just, you know, you know. And it's disgusting. Oh, I just got thrown onto the bus. I'm thinking, well, no, you didn't get thrown onto the bus because you're still walking and talking. You're not in the ICU right now. Because if you got thrown under the bus and it were moving, you'd be in the ICU, because that's pretty gross. At Cracker Barrel, years ago, they used to have this stuffed animal. It was called Earl the Dead Cat. Anybody ever see Earl the Dead Cat? Okay, Joe knows what I'm talking about. This is a stuffed animal about like this size, and he was about a half an inch thick, and he had tire tracks and X's for eyes. And it was Earl the Dead Cat. That's what you look like when you get thrown under a bus. But I hear that term. And I think, you know, that's really gross. That's harsh. I don't know if it was that bad. Sometimes it does feel that bad when people betray you, when they backstab you. And you say, you know, I just got thrown under a bus. And let me tell you what, that's going to happen. You are going to suffer at the hands of people because of your faith. You're going to suffer at the hands of other Christians, believe it or not. Guess what? I, sometime or another, will throw you under the bus. I'm not a perfect person. Sometimes I accidentally do that. You know, it's more of a bump over the boom, you know. You know. And I didn't mean to do it, but I did. I threw you under the bus. There's sometimes when I'm just in a mean mood, and I'm just, you know, get that bus, you know. And then I realize, oh, I need to repent from that. You know, I'm so sorry. You got squished under the bus. But that's going to happen. We're a family. You're going to get hurt from each other. That's going to happen. Don't let that interfere with your stamina. Keep rolling. Keep going. Keep moving with it. No, you're going to get hurt from each other. Don't let that keep you away from church. I want that to be something that you realize and you keep with it. Because sometimes when that happens to people, man, it just stops them in their tracks and they stop coming to church, they stop growing, or they run away and they switch to another church. You're going to get hit there too. Someone else is going to throw you under the bus and you're going to get mad and you're going to go to another church. You can watch people that have patterns like that. Don't do that. Stick with it. Have stamina. Sometimes you're going to get thrown under the bus by people who just don't care. They just don't care. They're in the church. They're outside the church. Inside the church, they have this disease that's called apathy. It's a gross disease. It means they just don't care. And they're going to hurt you. You're going to suffer at their hands because they don't care. Their negligence is going to cause you suffering. There are other people that you're going to suffer at their hands because they actively oppose the faith. They're actively opposed to what you stand for. And they're going to do everything they can to mess you up, to trip you up, to be there when you do fall, to point fingers. Don't let that get you down, Christians. This thing called stamina means you stick with it even when those things happen. You go back sometime later today and you read that list of 2 Corinthians that we read at the opening. And look at all the different ways that Paul went through these different hurdles. And he suffered at the hands of many people. He suffered isolation. But he stuck with it. He kept going. He didn't give up. 2 Timothy is that other book where Paul really reveals a lot of his person, his heart. 2 Timothy was written. It's a little bitty book. It was written to his son in the faith, Timothy. Paul had become a mentor to this guy, Timothy. He was a young buck, and Paul was getting up in his years, or at least worn out from all the shipwrecks and beatings and whatnot. And Paul was in prison. He was writing to Timothy. They had a close relationship. And much of this letter is encouraging Timothy to keep going, because I'm spent. I can't go anymore. You carry the torch. You go. Continue my work. It's really a touching letter. And in chapter 4, verse 6, he says these words to Timothy. He says, I'm already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time has come for my departure. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. I hope and pray that every single one of us here this morning would be able to write those very words from our deathbed. I fought the fight. I stuck with it. I ran the race, and I'm finishing the race. I kept the faith. I had stamina. And my drive, what moved me, what inspired me, was that I had a reward that was beyond all of this, that was bigger than anything that I would ever suffer. Church, write this down. I know that my reward in heaven, I know that my reward in heaven is worth every bit of suffering and discomfort that I might experience on earth. No matter where you get stabbed in the back, no matter how many shipwrecks you have in your life, no matter how many beatings or persecutions you endure, every bit of it is worth the prize that we are running for. Let that power your stamina. Let that be your drive, church.